Good afternoon. In medieval times, the elites of that era would create tapestries of their life. And each phase of their life would be one section of the tapestry. And they didn't leave recorded books or diaries, but they had these tapestries. So you could look and you would see what your parents' life was like. You could see what your grandparents' life was like, each stage in their life, maybe when they were a child and then as they grew up to be teenagers, and they would perhaps going hunting, perhaps if it was a male going to war, when they became king or lord of the manor. But each stage of their life was represented by one section of that tapestry. And as I mentioned, it covered all generations. So you could see your great-great-great-grandfather or grandmother, where they were in the tapestry of their life, and they all kind of fit together as one entity. Well, you also have a tapestry in your life, even if it's not on the wall. Your tapestry, each section of your life that you went through. Now, we've each had biological parents. We went to grade school. And from there on, our tapestries go different ways. Some go to college. Some went to work. Some went into the trades and progressed from there on. But each of us had this tapestry. Now, we can superimpose upon this tapestry, perhaps illness, perhaps something terrible that happened, an accident. But in addition to our physical tapestries of our own lives, we also have a spiritual tapestry that's superimposed upon our lives for all those who are called into the church. So I want you to think of your life. What stage are you in? You could be in grade school, could be in college, you could be starting work, you could be single, you could be married and not have children, or married and have children. You could have grown children and now you have an empty nest. And I might add that when that happens, the entire relationship in the marriage begins to change. Because you find yourself now 30 years older, and you where you were when you were younger, 30 years ago, but it's different. And each stage of your tapestry is different physically as well as spiritually, because each stage you've grown some. So if you remember what you were like at 15, you're not like that anymore. At 20, it's different. At 25, it's different. When you get to my age, it's, you don't even remember. But, so think of your life. What stage are you in? How have you changed from the last section of the tapestry of your life? How have you grown spiritually? Which is the measure that God is concerned about. You know, at each stage in the tapestry of your life, you had to make decisions. And all the decisions had consequences. You could have made good decisions, and the good decisions would have good consequences. But we've also all made bad decisions. And the bad decisions had bad consequences, sometimes severe, and certainly unintended consequences where you didn't realize something would happen. Nonetheless, we change and we grow through each step in the tapestry of our lives. And someday the current step that we were in, that you are in now, will be over, and you will be in a new step. And it will require new skills and new understanding and new growth. Because we reflect growth in each stage of the tapestry of our lives. Now we're speaking of growth automatically leads to the parable of the talents, which I'm not going to read because you're familiar with it. Some had 5 talents, made it 10. One had 10 talents, made it 20. So in each case, the talents increased. Now, the talents don't just represent gold and silver. You can read in Exodus 38:24, the talents are a quantity of gold and silver. It's not used for anything else, just gold and silver. And a talent is a large quantity. When we talk about gold or ounces of gold, we're actually talking about troy ounces, which are larger than regular ounces. And a talent of gold is at least 75 pounds and could be as much as 100 pounds. So the lowest price of gold recently was around $1,700 an ounce. And now it's closer to $2,000 an ounce. But if we just look at the lowest price, a talent of gold would be worth $1.8 million. 10 talents is $18 million. Again, lower. If we looked at the higher price of $2,000, we'd be well over $2 million for that talent of gold, which is not chump change. And that's a quantity that probably none of us will ever see. And certainly I won't. But if that increase in talents that those people were rewarded for were only good business decisions, then Jeff Bezos and Elon Musk would be leaders in the kingdom of God because they have increased the most. But that's not the case. So there's a more subtle meaning to that growth in talents. And you can look at that in Zechariah 13, verse 9, which defines what those talents really are. So let's take a look at Zechariah 13, verse 9. And it reads, I will bring the one-third through the fire. I will refine them as silver is refined and test them as gold is tested. They will call on my name. Okay, so here we have the key. That talent of gold doesn't represent business success. It's the refining of each of us, and it's the testing of each of us. And the point is, they will call on my name through that testing. So that's what the increase of talent is. I'll read from Revelation 3:18 where it supports that. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in fire that you may be rich. Again, the gold is not the physical gold. It's the spiritual growth, which is the gold, which is the wealth you take with you when you go into the kingdom of God. Now, silver and gold are refined or purified by fire. The increase in talent refers to our lives that will be refined, and only that which passes through the fire will be in the kingdom of God. Now, the people who grew by 5 and 10 talents, they succeeded in their spiritual growth. And if you look at your life, where you are now, what you've gone through, the tapestry that you are going through, are you seeing that growth? Because that's what you take into the kingdom of God. Now, on a note, God specifically used talents. He didn't use denarii. Denarii is one day's wage. That's a relatively small amount. A talent, which now would be equal to something 18, 20 million dollars increase for those 10 talents. That's a large sum of money. So God expects large growth, that we change from the carnal person that we are to becoming the spiritual person, and that we will be growing at different rates. Our tapestry will contain our godly character growth, in addition to the trials and tests that we go through in each stage of our life. Godly growth will come through difficulties, they will come through challenges, and they will come through trials. And even when we pass through the same step, everyone is doing it a little differently. Your life is different than anyone else's. Just as the tapestry of medieval times, each of those grandparents and great-grandparents, their tapestries are different. But the goal for us is always the same, spiritual growth and overcoming the difficulties that we will face. Now, there are common issues throughout time that each church member faces. And they're actually listed in Revelation 2 and 3 of the seven churches. So we're going to go through that because the challenges that those churches went through are the same type of challenges that you may be going through. So let's take a look at them. In Revelation 2 and 3, and the first church there is the church at Ephesus. And that became the loveless church. Well, why is that? Let's take a look. Well, they had strengths. And their strengths were pretty impressive. First, they can't bear evil. They aren't fooled by false doctrine. And they aren't fooled by false ministers. They persevered through their trials. And they were patient. They didn't compromise. They hated evil. Which sounds pretty good. I mean, we know in a past history of the Church of God, there are a lot of people who didn't make it that far. But then, as time progressed, they were overcome by the problems that they faced, and to solve those problems, they became involved with the world and lost sight of God. And we can be in that same category because we will all face problems. Especially in our society now. And we can depend on ourselves, depend on other people, and not depend on God, and not include God in this. So, as you deal with the tapestry of your life, are you working with God or by your own sight? If you're working with God, that's good, then it'll be resolved. If you're walking only by your own sight, you could get in serious trouble and fall into the same problem that the church at Ephesus did. Second church that's mentioned in Revelation is the one in Smyrna, which was a persecuted church. I kind of have special interest in this because that's where my father was born. But this church suffered greatly through persecution, but they never lost faith. And they were always stayed persevering. There's no corrections mentioned. They never fall short. But they had a tough haul. Now, we know people who have had some severe persecution. It may not be physical persecution where someone wants to beat them up or throw them in jail. It could be health. It could be issues where they're caught in a legal problem. Could be job problems too, marriage problems. But the key that they succeeded in was not to lose their focus. Now, I'll give you an example. Someone who has type 1 diabetes, they get it at an early age, 5, 6, 7, 8. Their whole life, they will have diabetes. It's a whole life trial. It's a persecution of sorts. And they have to go through that, trusting in God to help them, even though that persecution will not end. The key here in the Smyrna church and why they were so successful is they never lost faith, and they never lost focus, and they always depended on God for deliverance. The next three churches, we're going to see a continuing trend towards the negative. When we look at Pergamos, Pergamos is the compromise. They compromised with the world. Now, they never denied Jesus, nor Jesus' name. But they put stumbling blocks in front of members and prospective members with sexual immorality and compromising doctrine. They were modifying the doctrine so that they could agree with the world. In other words, God said this. Okay. Well, God said this. Well, if we, it really means, and you know, you could, so that way we can justify doing what we wanted to do anyway. We're compromising. We're compromising the word of God. We're justifying what we are doing and trying to make it sound righteous when it isn't. We have to be careful when we pass through each step in the tapestry of our life that we don't try and justify what we want to do and pretend that we're righteous when we're not considering God. We're not considering true meaning behind God's law, but we're doing it on our own. We're trying to say, well, this is okay because I kind of want to do it. Now, this is not an easy thing to do. Because it's very easy to compromise with the world. We have all this pressure on us. We have pressure through the media, through education, the attitudes that we deal with, TV, what we read on our smartphones, the news that we read on our smartphones. All of this is pressuring us to give up God's word. And we have to be sharp. We have to be aware of that and not compromise. After compromising, what's the next worst step? And then we get to Thyatira, which is corruption. Now, what they did well, they were increasing works, increasing in love, increasing service, increasing faith. But they allowed people in who undermined the commandments. So they lost their doctrinal truth. And that leads to sin. They looked good on the outside because they were doing all this good stuff, which was really good stuff. But they were becoming deceived. They were doing it for the wrong reason. No, they were becoming superficial Christians. If you will, checkbox Christians. Oh, I went to church. Check. I donated some money to charity. Check. And I am doing great. And, well, what you did was good, but you did it for the wrong reason. So take a look at the tapestry of your life that you are in now. You know, where are you? Are you making excuses? Because Thyatira was. They were making excuses because of the pressure that they faced. And we could do the same thing with the pressure that we face. And as our society devolves, you're going to see more and more pressure and more temptation to corrupt the word of God and to lose doctrinal truth because we're just trying to survive. Now we move to the next church. Again, we have compromised, we become corrupted, and what comes next? Death. And Sardis is the dead church. All that they had left was the correct name. So they were still the church of God, but they were attracted to the world, and they became a world religion. They lost the truth that God gave them. And they opted instead to be approved by the world. We have to be careful in the tapestry of our life. How attracted to the world are we? You know, it's especially difficult if you're a parent with a child growing up, especially a teenage child, because your children will be attracted to the world. And you'll do your best to teach them properly, as we all did. But the children will make the choice either to go with the world or go with God's church. And it's up to God to call them. Some of our children will leave and some will not. mine chose to leave, no matter what my wife and I could have done. But the key is, with the Sardis Church, they are dead because they wanted to be approved by the world. If you look at the tapestry of your life, if you want to be approved by the world, you might fall to the same problem that they fell to. And next, we get to Philadelphia, which is the faithful church. Now, we read it, that they did not have much power, but they went through every open door, kept the faith, and were not deceived. Let's think for a minute. You don't have much power. That means it looks like you're not going to make it on your own. God opens the door. Do you have the faith to go through it? It's not going to be an obvious door, perhaps. And when you reach the last door, especially when you get to my age, the last door is eternity. You have the faith to go through that one. But they had the faith to go through that door, even though that door might not be readily accessible and might be one that you didn't expect to be the door you were supposed to go through, but you had the faith to go through it. And they didn't hesitate. Now, in our lives, we also have little power in the tapestry of our lives. There's limited things that we can control. Things that happen in society, things that happen with our jobs, things that happen financially. We have limited capability. So we have to have the faith that God will open the door within wherever we are in the tapestry of our life, that we can go through that door that God opens. And then we get to the last church that's mentioned, the Laodicean church, which is a lukewarm church. Now, they had the knowledge. Now we can compare them to Philadelphia. Both Philadelphia and Laodicea had the knowledge. Philadelphia had the faith to go through it. Laodicea did not. They looked to worldly wealth to save them. They took the path of least resistance. No, knowing the truth will not save any of us. The Pharisees knew the Bible, the Old Testament, probably better than any one of us. Didn't help them, did it? Except for a few. Well, Nicodemus had helped. Paul had helped. He knew the Bible. He became a great apostle. Joseph of Arimathea, it helped. So believing Pharisees, it helped to know the Bible. But the others who were unbelieving, it didn't help them one bit to know the Bible because they weren't living it, they weren't doing it. And the Laodicean church, which is a church of God, wasn't doing it either. So look at your life. Look at the tapestry of your life, where you are now. Are you doing it or are you looking to the world? Are you putting it in action? I'll give you an example of putting it in action. The individual evangelical Christian who was very devout, he had a long drive home on a country road that was one lane each way. There weren't many services along the way, like gas stations or whatever. And he started out driving home, and he's driving, and it's night, headlights are on, he's driving on his one-lane-each-way road, and then he feels a heart attack coming on. Now, he's still got 30 minutes to the exit where he knows there's a hospital. So he prays. Should he try and make it or not? And then he thought, if I don't make it, I can lose control of the car and I could hit oncoming traffic and I would kill someone who is totally innocent. But I have a chance of saving my life, or there's a convenience store nearby. I could pull off at that convenience store and then I won't hurt. I don't have any chance of hurting someone else, but I probably will not survive. So he prayed about it. One is being worried about the other people, empathy for other people, care for other people. The other one is care for yourself, trying to make it to the hotel, to the hospital, is caring for yourself. He prayed about it, and he chose to turn off at a convenience store. It happened that God heard his prayer, and there were two policemen at the convenience store. They saw what happened. They immediately called an ambulance, and they gave him first aid there to keep him alive as the ambulance came, and he survived. He had a difficult decision. That was a difficult door to go through. But he went through it. He made the right decision, and because God was with him, he survived. If he had gone straight, he might not have survived. So let's summarize how we avoid the pitfalls that happened to other churches of God. And remember, they were all churches of God. That we need basic faith throughout each stage of the tapestry of our life. We can't compromise our beliefs with the world. We need to be close to God so we don't lose the truth, so we won't be deceived. And we have to walk with faith, trying to do God's will. Now, as we grow, there will be a real hard part, because there's going to be difficulties, and we will be challenging ourselves in each step of the tapestry of our life. But the one thing that you can control is your attitude at that point. We can have an attitude of being content, or we can have an attitude of complaining. If we are content, we will be at peace. It's a hard state to achieve. I haven't achieved it completely myself. If we complain, then we end up with a victim mentality. And if you are a victim, you cannot solve or resolve the problems that you face. Because you're a victim, you become helpless as a victim. If you are content, then you have faith and you see the need to draw close to God. Now we're going to turn to Philippians 4. Verse 11, and we're going to learn from the Apostle Paul, who was content. So please turn to Philippians 4. Now we're going to start on verse 11, and then we're going to go back to the earlier verses. Philippians is an outstanding book on surviving in our society. So reading from Philippians 4, verse 11, not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. Now he has some really horrible states. He was whipped, he was stoned, and the concept of stoning is not like throwing rocks at you and you can throw them back. What they do is they drop you off a building, so you land on the ground, breaking some of your bones, and then maybe they're 20 feet above you, and then they start throwing rocks on you. So you got no chance. But he learned to be content. He wasn't complaining. And he then gives us advice on how to be like that. Because Paul never complained, and neither did Jesus. Jesus never complained either. So let's look at verse 4. This is what Paul tells us, that in that tapestry, how to approach the problems. Verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. That's key, because what he's telling is, be grateful that God is there, that you are not in this alone. When Paul was being stoned, he knew God was there, and it would work out. Be grateful that God is there. Rejoice in the Lord always. First step to being content. Second step, verse 5. Let your gentleness be known to all men. Don't start fights, is what he's saying here. If you're going to start fights, you are not going to be content. You're going to be involved in the world. Now, you may be involved in a fight that you didn't start, but someone decided to fight you and make your life difficult. Well, then you have God to help you. It goes back to there. Be grateful that God is there, that you'll be able to handle it. Verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. In other words, don't worry. It takes faith, but worry is a waste of creativity. Be anxious for nothing, but you have to be praying in order for that to happen. Prayer and supplication and giving thanks to God when he does deliver you. Now, how do you feel when you help someone out and they don't even say thanks? They say, okay, I'm on, I'm going. Well, you feel terrible, and God feels any different. When he delivers you, when there's reason to be anxious and you are, and a door opens for you, you need to be thankful about it. And when you are, verse 7, and the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. You see the reward that comes from this. And verse 8, which tells us to control our mind, which is my mother's favorite verse. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are holy, whatever things are good, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. In other words, focus on the positive, control your mind. It's a difficult world. Whatever stage in the tapestry that you are in now, it's difficult. You have challenges, you have trials, you have problems. Control your mind, focus on the positive, know that you're not alone. Now, so far, I've only spoken about each of our individual tapestries. And we wonder why we've gone through some of the trials that we have gone through. You say, well, this kind of doesn't make sense. Why did this happen? Why does this have to happen? You know? You don't know. Well, the reason is that just as in medieval times, the tapestries of each generation flowed, each Christian throughout all generations, our tapestries fit together like a jigsaw puzzle. So what you're going through will ultimately, in the kingdom of God, fit in with someone else, and it may not be in this century. You know, we take an example of Rhoda in the book of Acts when Peter was released from prison. She saw him at the door, the angel had released him, and she was so excited that she left him outside and went running around. Well, it's part of her tapestry. Maybe her tapestry fits with your tapestry. Maybe it doesn't. We don't know of what we've gone through in each stage of our tapestry of our lives, how it will fit into the kingdom of God. Only God knows. But we will know when Jesus returns. And so there's more to Romans 8:28, and if you want, you can turn there. You're probably very familiar with it. Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Well, we view this within our own life, right? That, well, I'm going through this trial, but God can turn this trial to good, and it'll be good for me in the end. But there's more to it than that. It all works together for good for everybody because everybody fits together in one piece in the kingdom of God. And things that you're going through and you wonder why you haven't, it's because you are going to connect with someone maybe from centuries ago in the kingdom of God and work together. And that's why you had to go through it. And that's why it will work together for good. Because God's looking at the big plan of what his kingdom on earth will look like. And we each are a piece of the puzzle that fits in. And it will all work together for good. Our piece of the puzzle, everything that we go through, will fit into there. I said the second part of this verse is critical, because to those who are called according to his purpose, we have to be doing his purpose in order for this to fit. You know, if we look at the seven churches, Smyrna and Philadelphia, they were fulfilling his purpose completely. The others, Ephesus, Loveless, Pergamos, who were compromised, Thyatira, who became corrupt, Sardis, who is dead, and Laodicea, who lukewarm, had deficiencies that they had to overcome. Now, we each have deficiencies that we have to overcome. None of us are perfect. But with God's help, we will. Because we work together for those who love God. So now, in our lives, we only see Romans 8:28 in part. But when every tapestry of every life is put together in a perfect whole, which is what the kingdom of God will be, we will understand why God allowed things in our lives to happen. So I encourage you to look at the tapestry of your life. Where are you now? Where have you been? What have you learned from the places that you've been? What will be the next event? You may be able to predict it. If your kids are in college, then you're going to have an empty nest soon. And may the tapestry of your life shine brightly and show the growth that God expects so that you can enter his kingdom and enjoy the glory of that kingdom.